Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Valmet's Q3 2015 results briefing. My name is Hanna-Maria Heikkinen, and I'm in charge of investor relations. In Q3 2015, we saw strong development in orders received in China, and also our profitability was in the targeted range. Actually, our profitability has been in the targeted range three times during last four quarters. Today, our CEO, Pasi Laine, will first go through Q3 2015 in brief and also business line development. Then our CFO, Markku Honkasalo, will continue with the financial development, and after that, Pasi will review guidance and short-term market outlook. After the presentation, there is possibility to ask questions. Pasi, please, it's time to start.
Okay, thank you, Hanna. So like Hanna said, we had strong development in orders received in, especially in China, and profitability was at targeted range. So what I want to go through is first the third quarter in brief, then business line development, then, like Hanna said, Markku will go through the financial development, then I will go through again the guidance and short-term market outlook, and then, of course, there's a possibility for discussion. So in brief, if we start from the stable businesses, we can say that orders received and net sales increased in our stable businesses. And as stable businesses, we count our services and our automation business. And that's, of course, very, very good situation because our goal in the long run is to increase our stable business, meaning services and automation. Then our orders received and net sales increased in capital businesses as well, comparing to Q3 last year. But of course, if you compare to the beginning of 2014, they were not increasing, but comparing to the comparison period, they were increasing. Our order backlog is at 1.1 billion level, which is reasonably good level for us, meaning that we have capacity to take orders in, but then also we have capacity to deliver what we have in the backlog. So 2.1 is very comfortable level for us. We had good development in our profitability. Our EBITA was 47 million, and it was 6.4% as percentage. And like Hanna said, third time in four quarters, we reached our profitability target. Our net debt was 229 million euros, and gearing is 28. Last year, we were very much on negative side, but after the automation acquisition, we have been on positive side, and now the figure, gearing figure was 28. Cash flow, which Markku will explain more in details, was by the operating activities, about 16 million, so cash flow. So here's a picture of our figures in Q3. Like I said, stable business. Net sales was 334 million. Our total orders received was 725 million, and EBITA 47 million, and we employed 12,300 people. Stable business accounted to about 45% of our net sales. But like we have been saying, we more like to talk about the absolute term of how big our stable business is. But if you calculate in the percentages, last quarter, it was 45%. Capital business was divided quite evenly between pulp and energy and paper. The other one being 29%, and the other one being 25% of the capital of the net sales. Geographically, Europe accounted to 50% of our businesses, and North America, 22%. So traditionally, we have been saying that roughly 40% of the business is coming from growth markets and 60% from established markets. And in this quarter, a little bit more came actually from established markets, being North America and Europe and Middle East and Africa. Then if we look to key figures, like I said, orders received was 725 million, and the whole year, first three quarters, has been about 2.1 billion. Comparing to last year, it has declined by 19%, but then all in all, I think this 2.1 billion is at reasonable level. Backlog, like I said, 2.1 billion, declining 8% compared to last year. Net sales was 734 million, growth by 25%, and on yearly on three first quarters our net sales was about 2 billion and 74 million, and there we had growth of 22%. So growth has been quite good comparing to last year, and growth has been coming of course partly by because of the acquisition of automation business, but then also on our old Valmet businesses. EBITDA 47 million, it improved by 45%, and on yearly basis 120 million, and there we have all more than doubled EBITDA compared to last year. EBITDA percentage 6.4% for the quarter and the whole year, first three quarters 5.8%. So we are still on three quarters a little bit down compared to our profit target, but we are reaching it slowly but surely. Then gearing, like I said, 28 million, and this cash flow issue Markku will explain more in his presentation. We look at the curves. So here we have first the orders received curve for the business lines, and then from the area perspective, and we see that last year the 12 months cumulative curve was growing very nicely, and it went up to 3 billion. And then we had two or even three little bit slower quarters, and now we have had two reasonable quarters, so that the order intake has started to grow again. And here you see that the 12 months cumulative curve is a little bit close to 2.6 billion. Then when you look at the areas perspective, I think it's good to notice that China has been quite good in order index wise in our business this year. Last quarter, the order intake from China was 224 million. And we got, if I remember correctly, we got one big delivery for the pulp mill technology in China, and then we got two tissue machines and one OptiConcept M board machine. So capital market has been active for us. So at the same time when people have been very worried about Chinese economy and the Chinese economy slowing down, actually we have seen reasonably good order intake development in China. Then I have been a little bit wondering that why people are so afraid of Chinese development now, and it might be that we saw the change in Chinese market already 2-3 years ago. We said that the China market was about twice like it is compared to today's situation. So we have seen the market change already a couple of years ago, and now we compare the Chinese market to the new normal in China. And from that perspective, we actually think that the Chinese market has not been, it has been good for us during the whole year. Good. Then I cover the business lines more in detail when I'm in the business plan presentation. Backlog, like I said, 2.1 billion, and stable business is accounting about 30% of that, and 70% is coming from capital business. And it's up, down compared to last year, the same quarter, and a little bit down also compared to second quarter this year. But like I said, it's on healthy level, so that we have reasonably good workload situation almost all the units, and we still have a capacity to take new orders as well. Maybe the unit where we have some workload challenges is the energy unit, where we have had weak market situation already for some time, and then there we have some workload issues, but otherwise we have good utilization of our assets in all parts of our organization. Then this EBITDA margin follow-up curve, like we all remember, we started with low numbers, with 0.7, and the whole year in 2013 was about 2%. Then we improved, and 2014 we got our EBITDA to 4.3%, and we improved quarter after quarter. Then first quarter this year, we had low net sales, like we were warning you earlier as well. And because of the low sales recognition, our EBITDA dropped to 3.5%. And now we have had about 780 million, and EBITDA was 6.9%. Now volume was a little bit lower, and we have 6.4% in EBITDA. So three quarters out of four are in the range what we are targeting. And from that perspective, we are not happy, but we say that we are going to the direction what we have been saying. And then, of course, later on, I will explain again that we continue to work with the must-wins we have been working with to continue to develop the profitability further. So we are not saying that now when we are close to 6% that we are somehow happy with the profitability. What has happened in gross profit and SG&A? If I start from SG&A, so last year we had SG&A about 400 million. And now we made the acquisition of automation, and now you start to see the new level of our SG&A spending. Usually it's so that our second quarter is higher and third quarter is lower in SG&A. So if you take as an average the average, then you are closer to the reality. So we have some summertime work, our compensations, which are then reflecting to the cost level, so that we see more cost in the second quarter and then less on the third quarter. But if you take as an average the average, then you are close by to the new SG&A level of new Valmet. And what I can tell is that SG&A is under control, and we see the increase because of the foreign exchange and because of automation, and otherwise it's under control. Gross profit has been improving, it partly because of the acquisition of automation, but it has been also improving without the acquisition. And we'll continue to focus on the must-wins further also, so that we'll continue to work in with our gross profit and gross profit improvements. Then last years I have been focusing on this slide quite much on profit improvement. And of course we'll continue with the profit improvement as well. But now we want to talk a little bit more also about other things by which we are developing the company. So all the time we have had our must-wins: customer excellence, leader in technology and innovation, excellence in process and winning teams. And in the communication we have been focusing more on profitability improvement because it has been the biggest issue. And now we plan to open up a little bit also what kind of actions we are having on the other issues. And I will come then in coming quarters more in detail to many of these things, but already now I can say that next time I will open up in customer excellence the services concept and industrial internet more to you. After we acquired automation, we became maybe the number one company in industrial internet in Scandinavia. And we are now preparing a material to present it to you, and we will use that. But the fact is that we have delivered 750 production lines so that they are automated by us. We have about 400 connections, remote connections open all the time to our customers. We monitor over 70,000 condition monitoring signals all the time with our customers. We have 79 performance contracts where we are paid based on the performance of our remote controls. So we have quite a lot of activity going on this industrial IT. And of course now when we have automation, we have process technology and services, then the big story in Valmet is this remote concept industrial IT. And I will come back to that more later. Then in leader and technology, I have one example, and excellence in processes, I have one example today. First, this leader and technology. We have been talking about this modular optic concept M-machine for a while. And Now we can proudly present that we have sold 10 machines already in after we have launched it. And all of them are modular, similar kind of machines. They are copies of each other, of course, because they are modular. They bring a lot of benefits to our customers. Investment cost for the building is smaller, energy efficiency has improved a lot, runnability has improved, and startup curves have improved compared to the traditional machines. And we are, of course, very happy that our R&D has resulted to a product which has been so very well received by the markets. The same kind of success we have had with our new NTT tissue machine. We have sold five of them, and there it's to say a little bit different story. So NTT is a new type of tissue machine, which is making high quality tissue machines with low cost, low energy consumption. And this is one way how we want to differentiate from our competition, and of course, this is one way how our customers can differentiate from their customers and then their competitors. So we are also, of course, very happy that we have been able to sell already five NTT machines. Then one topic is this excellence in processes, and of course, it's important for us that we were second time included in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, global index, and also European index. And that's, of course, very good recognition for the sustainability work, what we are doing all the time in Valmet. Then one proof why we are included is the improvement in our lost time incident frequency. So that's telling how many accidents we have per million working hours in our factories and in our whole organization. And like you see here, we started from somewhere 15 LTIFs per million hours in 2011, and now we have been going down, and now last figure is 3.5. It's good figure, but of course, it's not good enough. So of course, good enough is zero. So we still have a long way to go, but the improvement has been good, and we, of course, have still challenges, and we continue to work with this, but we start to be on a level that it's not acceptable, but it's a lot of better than it used to be. And of course, we continue to work with this LTIF to go towards zero in the future. So see, these are two examples how Valmet has been developing its excellences in processes during a couple of years. Then if we go a little bit more deep in the business line development, if we start from services, so the orders received remained stable, and net sales increased in services. And if you compare the numbers, now the order intake was 252, and last year it was 242, so 10 million. And then if you take the foreign exchange rate away, then practically our order intake in services was at the same level than last year. And of course, our growth target is to grow single digit, low single digit, organically, our services. We had good beginning of the year, or actually end of the last year, we had good beginning of the year, and now we were about on par compared to last year. And it came mainly from our order intake not growing in North America. So we had growth in China. We were stable in Europe, and we were in Asia Pacific. And then in North America, we have stable, if we can calculate that in euros, but if we calculate that in US dollars, then we had a decline. So currently, the main focus is to turn our North American services to growth mode again. And we all know that we have a possibility to continue to grow our order intake in services, and that's, of course, not the main focus, but one of the main focuses of our organization has been so and will be so end of the year and next year as well. Then, of course, it's nice to see that net sales starts to increase in our services, and slowly the order intake starts to materialize as net sales and of course, as profit as well. Then automation order intake was 78 million if we calculate both internal and external orders. And when we acquired automation, we said that our business is roughly 300 million. So then 78 million is better than the average what we were telling when we acquired. Of course, it's lower than the first excellent quarter, but still this roughly 80 million in order intake is at good level for our automation business. We have been very happy with the performance, how automation has started. So it has started so well that nowadays it's difficult to remember that we acquired it only 6 months ago. So it works so much integrated now with all the other operations and cooperation between automation and the rest of our organization is very good. And I think still personnel is very happy and customers are happy that we were the company who acquired automation. And we are, of course, also very happy because they are performing well and cooperation between all the parties has been good. Then pulp and energy orders received has started to get back to the, I don't know if in our business you can say normal level, but back to the more sustainable level. Of course, we had three quarters when order intake was very low, then 260 million and now 206 million. So the trend is correct. Then net sales-wise, you see that our net sales is quite stable even if the order intake is so lumpy. So when we get big deal, then the delivery takes 2.5, 3 years, and that's why then the net sales is so much smoother when even if the order intake is so lumpy. We got big deal in China for pulp mill technology, and that's of course very nice because our market position in China for pulp mill equipment has been very good, and we are very happy that we got so big order from China. And it's for technology supplies only, so then the value is different than in projects which are being built in South America. Then paper order intake more stable compared to pulp and energy. And now, of course, we are happy that order intake was close to 200 million. Like we said, that the market was good and we got to roughly 200 million euro orders. And net sales has started to climb up also after first quarter being very low, second quarter reasonable, and third quarter reasonable as well. And we are happy that our orders received has been increasing both in tissue and board and paper as well. So good and stable development in our paper business line. So, Markku.
Okay, thank you, Pasi, and good afternoon also on my behalf. So our cash flow before investment in Q3 was 16 million, and cumulatively since the beginning of the year, it has been 14 million. We have been creating EBITDA since the beginning of the year, 161 million, but due to the fact that the change in net working capital has been cumulatively 110 million, it has had an impact on our cash flow from operations. Capital expenditure in Q3 was 11 million, and cumulatively it has been 29 million. Depreciation in this quarter was 14 million, and since the beginning of the year, 46 million. So our CapEx is lower than our depreciation. A good indicator for the net working capital development is the orders received development on a rolling 12-month basis. So historically, net working capital has been on average -9% of the rolling 12-month orders received. And at the end of Q3, It was minus 10% of the rolling 12 months orders received. And actually this graph is quite well showing that how the net working capital has changed year on year. So last year, when we were very successful on getting orders during the first half of the year, so the net working capital change year on year was 103 million positive. And now, when the orders received level is lower than a year ago, the change has been negative. So we have been funding that difference. At the end of the Q3, we had cash and cash equivalents 170 million. Our gross debt was 399 million and net debt was positive 229 million, which turned into the gearing of 28%. Our equity at the end of the Q3 was 850 million, which turns into the equity ratio of 35. So that was at the same level as it was in Q2 2015. Capital employed at the end of the Q3 was 1.2 billion. And return on capital employed, calculated before taxes and non-recurring items, on a rolling 12-month basis was 14%. So this is nicely on the improving trend, and our target, financial target, is for the return on capital employed is 15%. So we are not there as of yet, but we are moving on to the right direction. Non-recurring items during the Q3 were 4 million, and cumulatively we have had all in all 16 million, out of which 12 million are relating to the acquisition of the automation business. Our gross debt, 399 million, will be paid by the end of 2025, so we have an evenly splitted maturity structure of our loan portfolio. And our long-term portfolio consists of debts from European Investment Bank, SCP, Swedish Export Credit and Nordic Investment Bank. And in addition to that, we have backup facilities, 200 million revolving credit facility, which was not drawn at the end of the Q3. And then we have a 200 million domestic commercial paper program, out of which 10 million was outstanding at the end of the Q3. The average maturity of our long-term loan portfolio at the end of the Q3 was 3.6 years, and the average interest rate was 1.4%. So, Pasi.
So, if I continue with the guidance and short-term market outlook, so we have kept our guidance like it has been. Valmet estimates that including the acquisition of Process Automation Systems, net sales in 2015 will increase in comparison with 2014, and EBITDA before non-recurring items in 2015 will increase in comparison with 2014. So, we are not changing our guidance, and it stays like it has been. Then short-term market outlook in services, we see that the market is satisfactory, like it has been the whole year. In automation, it's satisfactory, and like it has been the three quarters we have had automation in our business. Then pulp, or two quarters we have had it in our business. Pulp and energy, we are saying that the pulp activity continues to be good. So there has been two decisions in quarter three. The other one we lost, the other one we won. And we still see that there are activities in pulp industry. And that's why we still keep pulp as good. And in energy, the same situation continues, that electricity prices are quite low, especially in Europe. CO2 prices have been increasing a little bit, but not very much, and that all keeps boiler type of energy investment still at a weak level. Board and paper, we are changing from good to satisfactory, and we have the reasonably good workload. We have a sales activity, but it seems that the decision willingness of customers or decision capability of the customers is such that many projects what we are negotiating will be delayed. And that's why we are now changing the market outlook to satisfactory. So we don't see that we have less activity, but we see that it takes longer time for our customers to make the decisions. And this year we continue to say that the market is satisfactory in our terms. So this is the market short-term market outlook. And as a summary, I can say in Valmet in third quarter, orders received and net sales increased in stable business, which is our strategic goal as well. Our orders received and net sales increased in capital business as well. Our backlog is 2.1 billion, which is at a good level, so we can take more orders, but we have enough workload as well. We have a good development in profitability, so we were at targeted range, and EBITDA percentage was 6.4%. And like Markku said, gearing is 28 million, and cash flow has been only 16 million, and Markku explained the reasons behind that. So,
thank you, Pasi and Markku. Now it's time for questions. We will start from here, Keilasatama.
Hello, Elina Reuta from Evli Bank. First, on what you said on the board and paper, that it takes more time to negotiate that. Which regions are the prospects in? Where are the delays taking place?
They are in all regions. So earlier paper and board business was more such that it was mainly in China. So 80% was in China. And last years, actually, the market has been so that it's quite evenly split between China, Asia-Pacific, Europe and North America. And we have activity in all these regions and investment decisions in all the regions have been delayed in the same way.
And then
if I would take one exception of that is that maybe the countries which are close to China have more tendency for delays because those countries which have a lot of export to China normally. So maybe there is more than the others, but others are at the same level.
And then about the comment on services and North America having declined, what do you expect there going forward? And can you talk a bit about what you're seeing in the market now?
I think it's partly coming from market and partly it's coming from our internal issues that we have been very successful now in capital business in North America. And we have partly the same people working with capital and service. And then the capital market is very active, then the attention goes there and it's a little bit away from services. So I see partly that it's coming from our internal issues and we can influence on those.
And then finally, one more question. On the pulp and energy deliveries or sales, which have been quite stable this year, what do you expect for Q4? Is there going to be a kind of similar delivery spike that we saw last year? Or what's the kind of profile there?
No, we haven't been guiding on that level, on business line levels.
And we are not giving guidance for individual quarter either. But the bookings are not always taking evenly place on each quarter.
Thank you, Elina. Good questions. Do we have more questions from Keilasatama? If not, then we can continue with the international questions.
Please remind you, star 1 to ask a question over the phone. Your first question comes from Manu Rimpela from Nordea. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. My first question would be on the workload you mentioned in energy is maybe a bit less than you would have been hoping for. So do you see that you have the cost base in a good shape? And are you, the measures you've been already announcing, are those enough? Or do you see that you need to start taking more measures in order to deal with the lower activity?
Yes, we can use the people also. So the ones who are our energy experts, we can use also for our part of our pulp offering. So of course we are cross-utilizing the people, so that will give us possibility. Then we have of course outsourced, and we are using outsourced engineers and production all the time. So of course we can reduce the amount of outsourcing, and then of course there are other ways to be flexible in Finland as well. But we are not that far with the situation yet that we would have any plans.
Okay. Thank you. And then maybe another question on the North American services. So do you feel that you are able to respond quickly enough with what it seems to be too little people in the organization in the U.S. to deal with the kind of good market conditions? Or do you see that you could be lagging the market for still some time?
We have started to react already, so I'm sure that our North American team is now very much focused on services order intake, and they are working every day already so to reach better results. So I'm not concerned about that.
Okay. And then finally, could you maybe give a bit comments on the seasonality you see for the margins? I mean, we have some history, but do you see that there should be a normal seasonality in this year, or because we saw Q1 was a weaker quarter, but now we have two good quarters and the fourth quarter is normally strong. But can you just give some more guidance on the kind of how you see the seasonality this year?
So I don't know if you ask about order intake or net sales, but in services, we usually, in a normal year, we have had a situation that 45% of the orders is coming in first half of the year, and 45%, 55 in the first and 45 in the second half of the year. And last year was exception. And so there is traditionally that kind of seasonality. And then in services, net sales, usually it goes a little bit the other way around, that we get orders in the beginning of the year and we deliver more of them in the latter part of the year. So that's how much we have seasonality in our business.
And any comments on the seasonality of the margins?
I think there's seasonality on the markets. Margins or markets?
The EBITA margins.
Once we have lived many years, then we can calculate the statistics, but in 1 year it's too early to say.
Okay, no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line, Antti Suttelin from Danske Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Antti. I have a few questions, but starting with a kind of a Valmet big picture question. When I look at your numbers, it seems to me that, you know, Valmet is still in a phase where all money is made with what you call stable business, services and automation. And equipment is hardly making any profit at all. Is this really the case? And is there something you can do about this?
That was very clever way to... That's very Antti's clever man. So I try to answer in good way. So like we have been saying, we think that all businesses have to be businesses. So we don't accept that we lose money in our capital business and then we think that later on we gain the money back in our services. So basic thinking is that all the businesses have to be businesses. And that's what we have been saying early on as well. And then to the other question, of course we still have room for improvement in our profitability. And we are saying that the target is between 6 to 9, and now we are at 5.8. And we are not saying that to reach the targets we have to have increased volumes. Then of course it means that we still see that we have profit improvement potential in our stable businesses, but also in our capital business.
I'm not really trying anything. I'm just thinking about what we should project for the future. Do you think that, you know, you could make something like, let's say, you think you could make 5% EBITA margin on your equipment, the business? Is that realistic for the future?
But now you make me to answer that it's not 5% now. I am not telling exact numbers, but we have put possibility to improve our profitability of our capital business. And like we have been saying, there are many ways. Of course, the first is that you try to price products as well as possible. And then in real terms, we are competing with our friends, and then usually the price is market price. But then you have your own costs, so you can do more cost-effective designs, like I was showing again the example of the OptiConcept M. Then you can work with your procurement costs, like we are working. You can work with your quality costs, and you can of course work with your engineering costs, at how quick you start up your machines. And we still have room for improvement in all those aspects to improve the profitability of our capital businesses.
Okay. And looking at your two cost side programs, quality costs and procurement cost cutting, do you see that there is still room to improve these in 2016, or do you start to be pretty much done with your targets already?
We still have room to improve our quality costs or decrease our quality costs. It's little bit same kind of trend than what I showed in this LTIF, that it takes years to reduce it. It's not something where you can suddenly reduce it by a lot. So it takes years to work with the quality issues and improve the reduce the quality cost. And first we started to measure the quality and then had some impact on that one. And now we are introducing more and more lean programs in different parts of the organization to continue with the quality improvements. And in procurement, it's so that we started first, I'm not saying easy ones, but more straightforward ones with category management. And now the procurement savings are more going to design to cost type of actions, that we have to redesign products so that they are more cost competitive to produce or to procure. So the tools are changing, but the targets stay as they have been.
But you have the 10% target. My question is there still room left for next year towards this target, or is it pretty much done by?
Yes, there is still room on both.
So can I just, just a little bit one comment for this one, Antti, if you remember that in our Capital Markets Day, we introduced these details of these programs. So these are 3 years programs. First year was 2014, this is the second year, and then we have a third year, 2016. So to answer your question, yes, we can still obtain something out of these programs.
All right. And then finally on the board business, can you say how much of your total paper segment order intake for this year, 9 months, has been from board? If you assume that this business goes to zero, how much will it hit?
Board business, we told the share of board business in capital market days for last year, but we haven't told it for whole year. We have to think about if in the fourth quarter we would announce it, but now I don't have the figures in my head, or I have but I don't want to tell them because we haven't published them.
No.
But what was your continuation about paper?
Yeah, no, the question was just that you took down the outlook for the paper segment, and I might think that it's because of the board business. So I was just thinking whether how much the hit would be if the board business goes to zero in order intake.
I can't see the future so that board business would go to zero, and I think this year we have been selling board machines, and next year we will be selling board machines as well, and the market continues. We just took the market outlook from good to satisfactory, so it was not very dramatic change, so we didn't change it to weak. So I don't see that the change is somehow dramatic.
Yeah. All right, that's all. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Tom Scotland from SHB. Please go ahead.
Right, thank you. I have a couple of questions. I think it's best that I take them one by one. First of all, I mean, it's obvious Valmet has the lowest EV to sales multiple in Nordic engineering. And to me, it's very obvious that you have nothing to lose from publishing the profitability of your stable business. I don't understand why you wouldn't do that, given this valuation and given that the profitability level is also not kind of, you know, best in class in the service either. So can we expect a change eventually, or what are your arguments for keeping this way of publishing numbers?
We are one reporting segment, and that has been the decision, and then we are not publishing the profitability of different business lines separately. There are many reasons. One is that if we open too much, then it's too easy for our friends from Germany and Austria to fight with us in capital business, because then it would be easy for them to actually calculate our cost level in our capital business. So that would harm us immediately in our capital business. Then the other reason is that you have a lot of allocations between the business lines, and it's a little bit management decision that how much you show profit on services and how much you show profit on capital. So you wouldn't be able to compare our figures to anybody else's figures, because you don't know how they have allocated the costs, and you wouldn't know that from us either. So then you would be comparing something to something which you can't compare. So we see that Valmet is one reporting segment, and because of these two reasons, we don't have any plans to open the profitability of our stable business.
So if I just continue on that subject, how is it then with people working, for instance, in your service or equipment business? Do they know themselves exactly the profitability level they have, if you don't know how to allocate the cost? Because typically a good way to improve performance is just to improve transparency internally. So it's not only 2-3 people at the top or in the company that knows anything about the profitability.
Of course they know, but we wouldn't be opening to outside world that how much, for example, from the production overheads we would be allocating are allocating for service, and how much from R&D we are allocating to service. So that kind of things. Of course, internally we measure profitability to quite detailed level.
All right. So now you have a normalized networking to capital to sales ratio, to my understanding. And given that, what is an optimal balance sheet structure? I cannot recall that you have any kind of official target for that, but I think it would be really valuable for us to understand how you think. Is the best thing to have a zero debt position, or can you have a bit of debt, you know, over the years? So what is the best?
Okay, yeah. So to answer your question, so yes, it's true that we don't have any target when it comes to the balance sheet structure. But if we look at the situation against our dear competitors, so I mean they have a negative gearing, and in this business when you are selling large projects, so it's important that you have a strong balance sheet position. So I don't have the right answer that what is the right one, but I mean at least now we are concentrating on reducing our gearing closer to the level where we have been earlier on. But I don't have the right answer for you.
And then with this in mind, what is your appetite for acquisitions? You have, if you look the last 10 years, you have, you know, if you forget about this automation, re-addition to the portfolio. Then it's to my what I remember, it's only Kvaerner and Tomfeld that are the two main acquisitions the last 10 years. And how do you see it? You know, where would you like to strengthen if you want to allocate money to that?
Yeah, so when we started, then we were saying that we are not focusing on acquisitions, but then we were focusing on acquisition and bought automation business because it was for sale and it was, of course, very obvious acquisition target for us. We are currently not actively on acquisition market. We focus on improving the business what we have. We focus on integrating automation. It's a quite big acquisition for us to acquire business with 340 million euros and having 1,600 people. And I think it still takes time for us to take out all the advantages of that acquisition. So that's the main focus currently on the management. And then, of course, we do small ones like now we were strengthening our tissue business and bought a small, from our perspective, small business in Italy to extend the offering to rewinders in tissue as well. So, of course, that kind of small to medium-sized acquisitions we are all the time looking at.
And CapEx ahead will be in the range of 40 to 50 million euros annually.
That will be the normalized level going forward.
Yeah. And then my final question is that a lot of companies disclose how the order book margin is developing, and to my understanding, you have less EPC and more kind of high value added equipment and more automation, obviously, than a year ago. So the order book margin must be trending upwards, but the order book is, of course, not, growing at the moment. So could you comment, just about the how you see, do you need to scale down on overhead costs for next year, or just, happy to see that the order book margin is improving so much that you don't need to scale down on overhead costs for next year, given this?
Yeah, I think we have now, of course, you can never say optimum SG&A structure, but you cannot expect any big moves on that respect, not to increase it and not to decrease it either. Of course, in today's situation, it's difficult to totally follow it up because the currencies are changing so much. So actually, let's see how next year develops, but maybe the currency changes in SG&A can be bigger than what the real constant currency changes are. But roughly, we continue with the same organization what we have today.
So you're, we don't know what happens to orders in Q4 as of today, but it looks likely that at least organically the order book will be down, but the SG&A are up, and then you have a better margin in the order book. That's how we should look at next year as it looks now.
No. It's a little bit too early to give a guidance for next year, so let's come back to in first quarter 2016.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Johan Eliasson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Johan at Kepler Cheuvreux. I hope you can hear me well. I have a question regarding pulp. Your short-term market outlook remains positive, I think you said, or good is the word you use.
Yeah.
Now, I guess part of that relates to Latin America and Brazil specifically, where the pulp makers are making a lot of money these days. Now, we have heard about that potentially Eldorado will sort of acquire Fibria. What would that do to your outlook for the pulp business going forward if there's a consolidation among the pulp producers in Brazil? What do you think?
I can't speculate on that rumor at all. So But of course, there has been consolidation in the industry last year, and there continues to be consolidation, and then some newcomers as well, like Eldorado has been a newcomer. But in long term, it doesn't have any impact to the demand of pulp mills, because the demand of pulp is increasing, and then of course somebody has to build the pulp mill. Then it's more the question who is building it, and this consolidation doesn't have any impact from our perspective.
Not over the longer term, I guess, but in the shorter term, I guess they both have plans to invest in a mill each. And obviously, if they merge, they might decide to only invest in one of those, obviously.
Yeah, and the other one actually has started the investment already, and the other one, I don't know. But the big picture in the market will not be changed if there's some consolidation.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very much, and there are no further international questions.
Do we have further questions from Keilasatama? If not, then I'd like to remind our upcoming site visits. It will be to Tampere, even though it's in November. I would highly recommend you to participate that site visit. You can learn more about automation there. And we will meet in February 9 when we will publish the financial statements review for 2015. Thank you for active participation.